Hi there, this is Roger. I want to welcome you to the call. This is A Case of Compassion hosted by the NVC Academy. Today's topic is celebrating love. I'm really excited about that. What I'm thinking it would be fun to do is, and we can do right now together, is breathe. I'm inviting you to sit and let go of anything you're holding. I'm inviting you to notice any sounds in your environment. Notice those sounds and let them go. I also like to invite you to notice any smells in your environment. Just notice and let that go. And notice how right now in this moment, supported by gravity and what you're sitting on. Breathe into that. There's support. That support is always there. If you haven't done so yet, I invite you to close your eyes. Notice the air we breathe. Notice that there is an abundance of air. So already we've noticed we have an abundance and support. Abundance in air and support from gravity. Breathe into that together. So invite us now to breathe together. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in deep. Breathing out slow. Breathing in calm. Breathing out ease. Breathing in a smile and using every muscle in your face. Breathe out release. Breathing in present moment. Breathing out precious moment. Breathing in love. Breathing out peace. Love in. Yeah. Okay. I'd love to hear from a few people who would like to share what you're hoping to get out of our call today and perhaps maybe what's up for you around the topic. Again, the topic is celebrating love.
I am really interested in hearing conversation from several people about love as a feeling versus love as a need. That's what drew me towards this call.
Oh, great. That's what we're going to do.
I would love to feel reconnected with my self in a deeper way and opening my heart to the experience of love.
Great. Thanks, Joelle. Glad you're here.
Compassion is, for me, this huge sense of loving Earth and all creation, and at the same time having this, I think it's a sense of great sorrow about so much that's happening that is so painful for a multitude of the people and Earth itself and global warming. For me, it's this huge connection around loving in a compassionate way myself and the whole Earth. That sounds pretty broad, but that's where I'm at. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad that you're on the call.
I'm new to nonviolent communication, and I love the impact it's having on me and my life thus far. One of the things that I struggle with in my life is religion versus relationship, and especially when it comes to love. You know, there's a scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor like yourself. It's the first and greatest commandment. And I think that's the most important thing in any kind of communication, but I'd love to have you speak to how love is expressed in given and received in nonviolent and non-judgmental and non-critical ways versus in ways that it happens with a lot of religion, which is criticizing, preaching, putting people down, etc. I'd love to hear you speak to that.
Thanks. I'm thrilled to hear that, because that's exactly what I want to talk about. So I think based on what I've heard here, that I'm going to go forward with the plan that I have. And so let me give you the big picture that I want to talk a little bit about what is love. You know, is it a feeling? Is it a need? Or just what is it? I'm happy to share my thoughts and share Marshall's ideas on that. And then after that, I wanted to have a chance to experience the energy of that. And so it'll be an exercise where we step into the living energy of the need of love. And then following that, then I'm also very excited to share with you information that I got from Gary Chapman's book, Five Languages of Love, which I think has some very, very useful information about making requests regarding love. So first thing I want to do is share ideas about, you know, what is love. Maybe we just want to start with what Marshall says about what love is. What I'm going to do is read from an article that appeared in the monthly Aspectarian in 1992. If you want to see this article, you can do so by going to my website, chooseconnection.com, and then go into the resources section where there's lots of handouts. And this one is titled An Interview with MBR, MBR being Marshall B. Rosenberg. So you go to chooseconnection.com, and then you go to that drop-down menu for the resources and handouts, and you'll see this article titled Interview with MBR. He was interviewed by this magazine. The interviewer is talking to Marshall and asking, you know, what he means by love is action. So what Marshall says is, what I've come to is this, that it's helpful to think of the word love not as a feeling, but as action. What action? The two that are central to the process of communication that I teach. So I would say that love is openly revealing what is going on in your heart with no criticism of the other, no demand. That's openly revealing what it is that you're feeling, what it is that you're needing. That, to me, is an act of love. An act of love because it gives the other person an opportunity to contribute to your well-being. And that opportunity to exercise generosity is probably the most fulfilling human action. So when I openly reveal myself, it's a real gift to the other person. I'm giving them an opportunity. It's not a demand. It's an opportunity to exercise human generosity. That's why I say one action of love is to openly reveal what's going on in your heart. The other act of love is to empathically receive what is going on in others. By empathically, I mean to just receive what's going on in the other person without putting any judgment on them, to see what the other person is feeling, to see what they're needing, neither to agree nor disagree, but just receive it the way it is, I think, an act of love. So defining love in that way is action. You don't use it as a feeling. It's important to express feelings that we refer to as feelings of love. But in our training, we show people that probably there's 100 different feelings. Sometimes we really mean, I'm feeling joy in relationship to you. And sometimes it's great warmth and affection. So if it's feelings that people are feeling, we suggest that other words besides love, desire. And so I really recommend the article in its entirety to check it out. What I'm getting out of that is Marshall is saying that love is not a feeling. He's saying that it's an action, and very specifically, he's referring to two actions, which are two of the primary components to a nonviolent communication, openly and honestly, vulnerably expressing what's going on in ourselves, as well as empathically listening, being present to what's going on with somebody else. I'd love to hear from people if you have any questions or comments about what I just shared. I'm mostly in agreement with Marshall when Marshall says love is not a feeling. He says that love is an action.
Well, I agree with everything Marshall says and what you just said also. My struggle in today's society is, you know, I'm an open, honest, vulnerable person. But a lot of times when you put that out there, it doesn't come back to you, to the person you're putting it out to. And their fear comes back in the form of other things like judgments and criticisms. Specifically, how does one, in a nonviolent communication way, address that kind of response that just really isn't loving?
I think what Marshall is saying is that then I would switch to empathy. I would empathically receive what's coming from the other person, and it may be coming in a real harsh way that's anything but loving. And when I have my giraffe ears on, or when I'm calm and clear and present, and I can hear what's in this person's heart versus what's coming out of their mouth. I can hear the good reasons that, you know, they're saying what they're saying. If I can focus there, hold my attention there, then I'm less likely to get triggered. Then it's easier for me to stay present when I focus on what's in somebody's heart, because it's about them, it's not about me. And I just want to acknowledge that sometimes I can do that and I celebrate those moments, and sometimes I get stimulated, sure. You're welcome, thank you. The other thing that I wanted to share with you about this definition of love, and it's from that same article. In this part of your article, Marshall is sharing with us what kind of the cultural definition of love is, his understanding of the cultural norm for what love is. So I'm quoting, "And now we come back to this word love. Very often they would say," Marshall is talking about working with couples that have come to him. He says, "Very often they would say, I just want to be loved. Is that asking for too much?" And I'd say, meaning Marshall, I'd say, "It depends on what you mean by love. What do you want people to do when you say you want to be loved?" Now they look very confused and say to me something like, "Well, you know, I'd say, "No, I don't know. I don't know how you use it, and I doubt other people know how you use it. So let's get clear. What do you want? What do you want from me right now to show you that I love you?" Then they'd get kind of annoyed and say things like, "Well, it's hard to say in so many words." And I'd say, "If it's hard for you to say, and you see how hard it is for me and others to do," that's when they start to get clear what they meant when by the word love. They get an embarrassed look on their face, and that embarrassed look would tell me that they were starting to get it clear. So I'd say, "Okay, what is it that you want when you say you want to be loved?" And then they'd often say things like, "Marshall, when I say I want you or others to love me, I want you to guess what I want before I even know what it is, and then I want you always to do it." Well, you see, that's very, very often the kind of a definition that people carry around with themselves without even being aware of it. They use the word love. And so this next definition that I have here, I got recently from Sylvia Haskovitz, and she's another trainer in the NBC network. I don't know whether she wrote it or whether she got it from somebody else, but I really like it. It's a definition of what she refers to as giraffe love, and so this would be love that's congruent with nonviolent communication. This definition of giraffe love is, "I will clearly express my own feelings and needs and hear yours, and vice versa. This contrasts with the old definition of love, which is, you will intuit my needs and meet them without me having to ask and without me being aware of what my needs are, and if you don't, I'll punish you." I laugh because I experienced the painful truth of that more than once. So I see a couple of people wanted to make comments.
Yes, when I listened to you read Marshall's definition, what sprung to mind for me was my relationship with my granddaughter, and she's 8. I have this sense of wide openness when I'm with her. I can receive anything from her with gratitude, and I can express in many ways how I'm feeling about her at the moment. And I would say that's my strongest love connection. And it's that transparency of sharing and that receiving of what comes toward me. I really love that definition.
I do too. My personal opinion is a little bit different than what I'm hearing Marshall say. And keep in mind that this was back in 92, so his ideas, I'm sure, evolved since then while he was still here on the planet. I want to share with you my thoughts here. So Marshall is referring to love as an action, that it's not a feeling. I'm in agreement with him is that love doesn't serve us to refer to it as a feeling. In my opinion, though, love is also a need, that we have a need for love, okay? And for me, action would be at the strategy level, involving a specific something that's doable. And honest expression and empathic listening are both doable actions that would be strategy. I see that we have a need for love by itself, and that the actions that Marshall is suggesting are very, very effective ways of expressing and receiving love. For me, there's many times when a need actually becomes a strategy for meeting another need. One that I think of frequently is sex. We have a need for sex. At the same time, sex is the strategy that meets, well, I've done workshops on this, and pretty much every need on the list gets met at some time for some person with sex. And so for me, it would be, there'd be touch and affection and vulnerability and aliveness and passion and joy and pleasure. And, yeah, so there's multiple needs, deep communion, just at a spiritual depth of communion. That, yeah, so one need, the same time that it's a need by itself, can also become a strategy for other needs being met. It would be really interesting if Marshall was still here and we could get his thoughts now. There is somebody who has a hand up.
Well, I'm so embarrassed to ask these questions, but I'm telling you what, I'm really wanting to get a greater understanding. So very often people will tell me that they have a need for sex, and honest to goodness, Roger, I don't believe that. I believe their need is something deeper. And so I think I'm judging that and trying to help them see that it's not just sex you want. You do want and need more than that, but they're not in touch with that. How would you respond to that? I feel like a TV journalist. How would you respond to that, Roger?
Somebody said they wanted sex, and I'm thinking that that's a strategy to meeting other needs.
I'm saying that many, many, many people are not really in touch with their feelings. They're not listening to themselves. They're not really listening to their heart or their instincts. And so they'll say something that's very popular to say in society, like, well, I just want sex. But I don't believe that that is what people really want or need. I think they have a deeper need for connection or communion, like one of the gentlemen on the line said. So how do you respond to something like that? That's my question.
In any moment, in any conversation, I always have three options. One, I want to check in with myself and then either honestly express what's coming up for me. When I hear that this person say, I want sex, I can say, you know, where that's landing in me, yippee, me too. Or, you know, I'm worried and concerned. It doesn't work for me. That's not alive for me. Or the other option would be empathy, to empathize with them. So when I hear you say that you're wanting sex, I'm really curious. If you had sex, if we had sex or you had sex, what would you have then? Mm. I'd like to invite you to just check in with yourself. If you had the sex, then how would you be?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question. All righty. Let's see where I'm wanting to go next here, I think, is I want us to have an opportunity to experience the energy of the need of love. Now, this is an exercise that I got from Robert Gonzalez many years ago, having attended his workshop on living energy of needs. And I really love Robert's work. It goes to the spiritual core of nonviolent communication. What we're invited to do in this exercise is really to experience the energy of the need. The energy of the need in its fullness, not the need as representing any type of deficit or that there's something missing, but just the fullness of the energy itself. And so we're going to be in triad. What we'll do is each person in turn will share your experience of love. And so anything you want to say, any time in your life when you actually experienced love, or any thoughts or beliefs, anything you want to say about love in its fullness, I'm inviting you to express that to the other two folks that you're going to be with in the triad. Does anybody have a question about what we're about to do? Okay, so we do have a question.
Hi, so you're asking us to express what we feel love is in its fullness to us. Is that correct?
Yeah, that'll work. I'm asking you to share what love has been like for you when you experienced it. Okay, so an example would be for me this last week. I was hurt in a bicycle accident and banged up pretty good, and no serious permanent damage, but banged up good just the same. And so I was inundated with, overwhelmed with love and support as my people calling me and coming over and reaching out to me and texting me and emailing me as people heard that, you know, I'd been hurt. And was there anything they could do and how was I? It just felt really, really wonderful to be cared for and just kind of be held by a community that cared about me. And I was touched and moved. That's an example of mine, this recent and current, ongoing actually, regarding my experience of love. So I'm inviting you to share experiences or thoughts or feelings or anything you want to say about love in its fullness, the beauty of love, the energy of love. And then we'll all come back together. Okay, I'm really curious as to how that was for you. I'm inviting you to, if you would like to, or be willing to share, how was it for you, what we just did? Was there something there that you liked about doing that? Was there an insight or a takeaway about spending time with a couple of folks just talking about love, what love is to you, hearing what love is about for somebody else?
Thanks, Roger. I was going along sharing my story and everything, and the bells were ringing and the microphones were scratching, and I thought I was just doing so good at keeping within my time frame. And then the third person started to share, and the bell rang, and he says, our time is up. So I want to try and open my heart here and practice that, saying to my two partners, when I heard that bell ring and the third person didn't get to share, I felt some regret and sadness, because I really value equity or fairness or... I really wanted everyone to have a turn, and I feel some sadness and regret that that we didn't.
Yeah, I really would have liked to have heard from everybody, have everybody have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. That really resonates for me. I'm in agreement. Yeah.
Thank you.
My takeaway from that was that everybody seems to have a little bit of confusion about the receiving and giving of love. It seems to be a nebulous big group of needs that are met when we're receiving it. And support is a huge part of it. Presence, definitely a huge part of it. And also, I got some clarity in giving my input in that giving love to somebody else is a complicated business. It can be. I have a lot of difficulty sometimes. I use the terminology hitting all the right notes at the right time in the right way, when I've really got that need for contribution to provide love for someone else.
Yeah, I certainly resonate with that, what you just shared, and have experienced that. How do we meet this need for love for each other? Your microphone is on.
Hi, my takeaway so far is that love is a feeling, an action, a palpable, energetic experience, that it is an energy and a connection and an openness to connection. I'm really have a lot of gratitude about the sharing I've heard so far. Thank you.
Thank you. I am grateful to be on this call, and the takeaway for me is just how large a concept love is and how important for me it is to have dialogues like this about and around it. I found it very delightful. I found myself learning, listening to what my partner had to say in the triad. And what I realize has been a real gift for me is I realize that NVC, in my learning of it and discovery of it, my real pull is finding out more about love and how we express love within this human experience. And I think that's what initially drew me to NVC. And it was great to come to that realization on this call. Thank you. I'm complete.
Thank you. Glad you're here. Your microphone is on.
This is my first call of this particular topic, and I'm really glad that the idea of love and what it means to us all is being discussed. I actually have a longing to have an ongoing discussion about that with everyone, including and especially myself. I'm not sure sometimes how to treat myself and whether I'm doing that in various moments. So it's definitely, I think, a conversation that is key to the ideas and elements of NVC and probably key to our survival.
I couldn't agree with you more. I certainly resonate with what you said. It's such a core concept to every major religion on the planet, and this concept of love is a core component. It's what I so value about NVC is the way to make it doable and livable. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much. Thank you for holding this conversation.
You bet. And let's see, next.
My takeaway from the sharing, one of them said that love is the hope of NVC. And as the speaker, just the one before, said too, that that's what drew him to NVC. And I think that summed it up for me, that love is connection to the heart, and that is the hope of NVC.
Love is the hope of NVC. So I know that for me, NVC gives me hope for love, that more love would be expressed and received because we have communication skills and tools that empower us then to express our love and to hear somebody else's love and to be, as Marshall, that definition that I was sharing with us earlier about, that he's suggesting that love is action, and the two actions that he's suggesting is openly and honestly and vulnerably expressing what's alive in us, what our feelings are, what our needs are, without any judgment or criticism of another. And that's half of it. And the other half being to be present to what's going on for somebody else in their heart and what their feelings are, what their needs are, irregardless of how they might be saying it. You know, that I could stay present to what's alive in this person. By alive, I mean, what are their feelings? What are their needs in this moment? Yeah. And that's what gives me hope.
Yeah.
We're in agreement.
Thank you, particularly with your summary.
Thank you. So what I would like to do now is transition to, from, you know, this place where we touch that energy within ourselves, that energy, the energy of the need of love. When we're able to connect to that place in our own heart, for me, it's a very heart-opening experience, and where I actually experience expansion in my chest, and lighter, and I become more present to what the needs are of folks around me. So what I'm noticing is the contrast between what Marshall is recommending, suggesting that love is actions, okay, versus the cultural concept that many of us, and not everybody, but many of us have grown up with, this idea that love is that you will intuit what my needs are, and you'll meet them without me having to ask, and without me being aware of what my needs are, and if you don't, I'll punish you. Oh, that just seems so archaic, you know, it's just like, and primitive, and yet I run into it every day. You know, it's like folks not aware of what their needs are, what a gift it is when we can be present to those. And so I've gotten a lot of insights from the author Gary Chapman in his book, Five Languages of Love. For me, the gift in what he shares is potential strategies, potential requests that we can make once we know what our language of love is. Instead of wanting somebody to guess what my needs are, what if I can express if I'm aware of what my needs are? And then here's some ways in which we might have our need for love met. So Gary Chapman writes and suggests this: where we get in trouble is when one of us has one language for love and our partner, another person, has a different language for love. And when he refers to languages, I'm thinking of more as strategies. And you'll see how this unfolds. One of the languages that Chapman writes about is gift giving. We've all had experience with giving and receiving gifts. For some of us, that really meets the need for love. I know I have mixed experience with that. Sometimes it has, and then there's been other times when I really got caught up in duty and obligation and like I'm supposed to give a gift, and that gets in the way of the giving and receiving and the need for love being met. Or when gifts are given and it seems like there's strings attached. This used to happen with me and my mom when she had a collection of artwork, you know, and she had way more than what she knew what to do with. Some of it was in storage, and so she gave me one of these, and I took it to my place, and I didn't care for the frame, you know, and so I took the frame off and hung it up without the frame. I really liked it, and then, oh, God, when she came over and saw that I had this up, you know, but where's the frame? That was the unspoken string attached. That you can have this, but you have to keep it. You have to keep the frame on it. And oh, God, then she started talking about how much the frame was worth. And I didn't have the guts to tell her that. I sold it at a garage sale for a couple of bucks. But I could see very clearly when she gave me something that was, you know, precious to her. And the intention was precious to me. So this is one of the languages of love, is gift-giving, giving and receiving, okay? Another language of love is doing deeds of service or doing acts of kindness, or is there something that, you know, I could do for you that would make life more wonderful? Or I'm actually doing something. Would you like me to pick up the dry clean? You want me to make us dinner, you know? Things like that, where we're doing something. Another language of love is words of affirmation. This might be actually hearing the words, I love you, or it might be, for me, affirmation would include appreciation, that I've said or done something that you've enjoyed, or there's something about me that you like. You know, I would really enjoy hearing what it is about me that you enjoy. There's something I've said or done that you like. These would be words of affirmation. And I find that those particularly meaningful when somebody can tell me what it is I said or done and how they, you know, what needs of theirs got met by that. Another language of love is quality time, actually spending time with somebody, in which I have their full attention and they have my full attention. And I don't care what we do. It doesn't really matter what we do. It's that we're doing it together and I'm with you and you're with me and I have your attention and you, and we're really present to each other. That one really works for me. And then the fifth one here is physical touch. And so this could be a handshake or a hug. It could be lovemaking. It could be massage. It could be physical touch. It doesn't necessarily mean sex. And touch, sometimes just, you know, touching somebody's hand or their forearm or touching somebody on their shoulder. I love touch. I'm a touch junkie. I love hugs. Touch is, I know, one of my primary languages of love. And so I grew up in a family where there wasn't any touch. That's what was missing. That's the one that does it for me. So the five languages, I'm going to invite us to go back into triads and to talk about them. And which of these do you enjoy? Which of these do you have experience with? Which ones work for you? What doesn't work for you? And so I'm going to name them again. There's gift giving, doing deeds of service or acts of kindness. There's words of affirmation. There's quality time. And there's physical touch. I'm going to invite you to share your experience with these different strategies, different ways of meeting your need for love. What I get excited about here is it gives us some potential strategies then that we could ask for when I'm wanting love. You know, I know that I'm wanting love, and I'm wondering if, and I'm thinking quality time would do it for you. I'd really like some time with you. I'd really like some to hang out. How would it be if we did something together? You know, go get coffee or go to a meal, or, you know, we have time together. What's really helpful is if we know what the language of love or what strategy works for the other person. This brings us back to that dilemma of the cultural concept of people not knowing what it is that would actually meet their need for love, and they just want us to figure it out. This is some additional tools for figuring it out when somebody doesn't know what their needs are. And I can check, I can explore these with them. So we're going to go back into triads, and it can be kind of like a dialogue. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes with just one person. You know, it can be a conversation. Or you can take turns if you want. Alrighty. I would love to hear from you. You know, what was this like for you? Is there a nugget or a takeaway about these languages of love? Is there ones that really resonate for you, really work for you? Did you come up with some new languages or strategies that might work for love that you'd like to share? I know I would really enjoy hearing how it was for you, what we just did, what worked, what went well, what didn't work, or anything you'd like to say about the languages of love. Does that concept work for you or have value? Your microphone is on.
Hi. We seem to agree that the quality of time together was foundational. That seems to be the core of all the others, and the others tend to contribute to the quality of time together. So we chose that one.
Nice. Yeah, so for you, the quality time is really foundational.
Yep, that's what three of us decided.
Oh, the three of you are in agreement on that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement, you know, without quality time, then there isn't anything. But quality time kind of creates the container, the space then for these other things to come in. And my preference is really the combo plate, where there's quality time plus words of affirmation and some touch, and then it may or may not have deep disservice or gift giving. Okay, so it's really that combo that is really the most delicious for me.
So you're talking about a triad then?
I was saying that I like the combo of strategies that involve quality time, words of affirmation, and touch. And by triad,
yes.
I'm meaning those three languages, yes. Those three strategies combined, yes. And sometimes it's gift-giving. That's not where I usually go first. I know even with deeds of service, like this last week when I was banged up and a lot of people were reaching out to me, and many people said, is there anything I can do for you, Roger? You know, it touched me, you know, I really appreciated hearing that. But there wasn't really anything that I was needing help with. You know, I could still get around, you know, I could still go to the store, or I could still get things that I needed. And yet one person decided to bring me over some ice packs and some arnica, which is really good for healing injuries. And that really touched me. So that was really kind of like gift-giving.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when the gift is really meeting a need, you know, that is imminent. When you're able to give somebody something that they really want. I know I struggled with this when my kids were little, you know, and it seemed like gift giving around holidays and birthdays was obligated. And part of me really wanted to, you know, because I love my kids. And at the same time, it wasn't clear on necessarily what they wanted or wasn't clear on how much was enough, you know. It's like I went through a lot of confusion around that. Unfortunately, my wife had a lot more clarity than me, and she just chose to be honest and straightforward with the kids and said, okay, your dad and I have talked about this, and here's the budget for Christmas, and I'll take each one of you shopping so you can get what you want. It got me off the hook, and all I had to do was contribute financially, which I enjoyed doing, and I really enjoyed them getting what they wanted. But that's where I was stuck, and then having a budget that, okay, this is what we can actually afford. I've had some really wonderful experiences with gift-giving, and then, as I said before, when the gift comes with the strings attached, you know, it's like, yuck. It doesn't seem like it's a gift at all. I'll do this if you do that for me. You know, it's more like bartering. Or, is this complete for you?
Yes, I just wanted to mention that one because we all three of us talked around that for a while.
Okay, thanks. And let's see, maybe your microphone.
Yeah,
I was in Ray's group, and when we were talking about quality of time, my idea of quality of time was my quality of time of life, and it did encompass all of it, the gift giving, the affirmation of our words, the actions. The time I have in my life it's how I spend it, and how love has such a big impact on that.
Oh, yeah. Great. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to cover a couple of things before we go to a closing checkout round. In the closing, then, I'd love to hear what your takeaway from the call might have been, or what works for you on the call as a whole, what didn't work. That feedback is really precious to us. Next month's call is going to be led by Ann Walton, and is a certified trainer who lives in Canada, in Ottawa. And she and I have worked together as partners in Choose Connection, Sharing NVC with others for a number of years now. Her topic has to do with money, and I'm not clear on exactly what. My guess is it would be working with our beliefs around money that don't serve life. It's some version of that. I know Anne has totally inspired me with her ability to raise money for projects and things when she needed to. An example would be she had been invited to Russia to speak at a conference on conflict resolution. She was going to have to pay her own way, and she didn't have the money. And so she did a little GoFundMe fundraising campaign to raise the money to make that happen. And boom, it did. And she's done that more than once. It's just like her willingness to step out there and ask for what she wants and ask for support. I know that can be challenging for a lot of people. So I really recommend the session next month with Anne. The other thing that I wanted to tell you about is that I'm going to be hosting or organizing, along with Corey Tyler, who's on this call, and a couple of other folks, we're going to be organizing an international intensive training, an IIT. It's a 9-day residential retreat to have an immersion experience of living NVC together in community for 9 days. And it's going to take place in February of 2017. And we will be in the greater LA area, actually Rancho Palos Verdes. And all the information and the details for this are on CNBC's website. It's February 10th through the 19th. Some incredible trainers are going to be there. Jim and Jory are going to be there, as well as Mary McKenzie, as well as Sarah Payton and Catherine Singer. And so I'm just excited about that team. Really looking forward to that event, and just wanted to let you all know about it because there's some deadlines in terms of early bird discounts, and then there's the scholarship discounts. There's deadlines for those that are coming up. And all that info is on the website. So if you're interested, check it out soon so you don't miss a deadline for a discount. I'm now wanting to move to a checkout round and hear from anybody who would be willing to share, how was this call for you? Do you have any feedback for me? Do you have anything that you'd like to say that would make this call complete for you? What your takeaway is, or what went well, or what didn't go so well? How it was for you, what we've done. Your microphone is on.
I really value the topic of love, and it's a multifaceted topic, and we could talk at great length, but it's beautiful to put it into an NVC context around feelings and needs and how it can be practically experienced. So I've enjoyed the call. I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for putting it on. I appreciate that. It meets needs for learning and connection and community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the feedback. Your microphone is on now.
I loved it. I really appreciated the different topics you had commented about, the languages of love, the 5 different ones. I have to say, Roger, I'm a fan of yours. I really enjoy your classes, and I was very happy when I heard your name. Thank you very much. Very nice reminder to have this topic. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I have a sense that I'm complete. I just want to express my appreciation, gratitude for each of you being here. I really learned a lot and really enjoyed prepping for this topic. I've never done a session on celebration of love, didn't know what I was going to do, and I was just inspired to do so. So it gave me an opportunity to just start bringing together my notes and resources and getting clarity for myself in terms of what Marshall's ideas were and what mine are, and love hearing from others. So needs for community and connection and contribution, also support. Big shout out to Jeff. Really appreciate the support, Jeff. It's really huge to have somebody run the board. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.